Hi, this is Dr. Barry Leica talking on Inside Cosmetic Surgery Today on webtalkradio.net, your inside source on cosmetic surgery. This is really your inside source where you can find information that you can find nowhere else. I have the best guests, I have the best information and the newest procedures on cosmetic surgery available. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about acne and acne scarring. Last year, I really had the pleasure of talking with Dr. Rebecca Baxt on acne, and we're going to cover a little bit of that today because I think it's important, but then we're going to jump into acne scarring because acne scarring is still one of those horrific things, and it affects all sorts of people. It doesn't affect just teenagers. It affects young adults. It affects people that are much older because they didn't have the benefit of treating their acne that's available today. Today we've got some phenomenal things that really helps us a great deal. We're really excited about the technologies we have, and we're really excited at what we can bring to the table. Hello, Rebecca. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's just a great day. Tell me, in treating acne, have we gotten better things out there right now?
I think we have fantastic array of treatments. I always love seeing acne patients because I know I can make them so much better and make them happy. I can always clear somebody's skin. It's just a matter of, you know, which modalities we need to use, whether it's traditional, you know, antibiotic pills and prescription creams, or sometimes even over-the-counter creams can help, or whether they need injections, chemical peels, lasers and lights, or isotretinoin. As well as hormonal therapies for women, but there are so many options. We can always clear somebody's skin.
Yeah, but you know, I'm always amazed what we learn in acne too. For example, one of my friends, Bill Danby, who used to be head of the Canadian Dermatology Association, now practicing in the east of the United States, came up with a new book on acne the other day, and I was reading it, and I was surprised to read that over 70% of acne comedones are colonized with yeast. So he suggested in that book to start people on anti-yeast agents such as Nizoral in addition to antibiotics. So I've been doing that for about a month now, and I've even been getting a better response of my acne. So I'm really surprised at what we don't know about acne and what we keep learning about it too.
Yes, I think that we will continue to learn. There was also something recently FDA approved for acne rosacea, which is sort of a subtype of adult acne, which is topical ivermectin. And that's also an anti-Demodex agent that kills mites that live in the skin. So, you know, we are definitely all colonized with bacteria and yeast and all kinds of things that we don't even know all the specifics of, and they probably play a much bigger role than we think, and we'll probably keep making new discoveries.
Yeah, I remember years ago when one of my colleagues, one of the people I was working with, pointed out that Demodex was probably the cause of rosacea. I looked at him and I said, then why do antibiotics work? And he said, well, you might be killing some of the bacteria that's feeding some of the mites on the skin.
Exactly. It's all interrelated.
And so, again, we're learning more and more and more, learning better things, learning new things. So one of the primary ways of treating acne scarring is to prevent it. And that, to me, is one of the best means. So if anybody has acne out there, I really encourage you to check into a good dermatologist such as Dr. Baxt or myself or a number of the members of the American Academy of Dermatology, because truly, we're the experts on the skin.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes me sad when I see people who have tried all kinds of over-the-counter things and have never sought care with a good board-certified dermatologist because, there, like we said, there's so many ways to treat acne and get it under control.
Yeah, and I think this is very important. I think we're learning more. I think we're doing more. I think we're starting to understand all of this, too, and it really excites me to find out all these variables. Okay, so now let's suppose a person went beyond the phase where their acne was treated, and they actually have some scars now. What type of scars do you see, Rebecca?
I would say I like to split acne scars into a few different categories. The one that I feel bothers my patients the most are what they call the red scars. And I don't even really like to call them scars because those red marks are really not permanent. And to me, a scar means a permanency, that it's there forever. And the red marks we know are just post-inflammatory from all the inflammation that the acne caused. And we know that they're going to go away on their own. However, when the patient looks in the mirror, they see all these red dots, and it reminds them that they had acne, and sometimes it's hard for them to tell the difference between the acne dots and just the red post-inflammatory mark, and those red marks drive them crazy. So there are ways to get rid of the red marks faster, such as a pulse dye laser or intense pulse light. Sometimes even just creams and chemical peels can help those fade, but they do go away on their own with time. And then I also,
now, how soon would you jump in and start treating the red marks? Because, you know, all of us fair-skinned people get red marks, and we always get them as part of that healing process.
Yeah.
How soon would you start to think of treating them?
I like to get the acne under control first. But sometimes I can get the acne under control within a month or so, and then if the red marks are bothering the patient, I will treat them with the laser, but I always caution them, you know, if you're on a tight budget, the red marks are going to go away on their own anyway.
Absolutely, and I think that's very important. I think it's very important that they will go away, and reassurance it will do that. But we do have tricks to make things faster and better, and I do love lasers for this. I think lasers are some of the most precise surgical tools that we have. I think they do wonders for us. I love the V-beam laser for treating this. The V-beam is a tunable dye laser. Really does a wonderful job to get the red out, and I've been using that for a number of years with some excellent results. And I think even the skin looks better when you treat it with the laser quicker and don't wait a long time.
Yes, I completely agree with you, and I love the V-beam pulse dye laser for exactly that. I use it the same way.
Yeah, and I use a competitor of the IPL called the BBL, or broadband light. Same machine, I think, but made by a different company, so they can't use the proprietary name IPL. And for more diffuse redness, I certainly use that.
Absolutely. Plus, I find that the IPL has a little bit less downtime. The V-beam does cause a little bit of swelling. I have some patients that are bothered by that.
Yeah, I agree. So good tools, good little tricks that we keep in our saddlebag. Okay, red. What's the other color we see?
Well, then I find a lot of my patients are really bothered by the brown marks, which, again, to me, they say scars, and I say those are not scars. Those brown marks are going to go away. It's just going to take time. But the brown marks, in some ways, are almost easier to get rid of than the red marks, because if you just do a chemical peel or two, or like a fractionated laser, sometimes I'll use the 1927 Fraxel, but there are so many different options between chemical peels and different types of sort of superficial resurfacing lasers to get rid of the brown marks. In addition, a lot of the creams that we start using right away for acne have the nice side effect of fading the brown, such as any of the retinoids, Retin A, Differin, Tazorac, as well as the azelaic acid, so Azelex cream or Finacea gel. So sometimes patients are very happy because you're putting them on those creams right away, and those creams are killing two birds with one stone. They're helping fix the acne, and they're helping fade the marks at the same time.
Yeah, as Richard Fitzpatrick told me once a long time ago, Richard was one of the great men in dermatology, great laser doctor down in the San Diego area, that hyperpigmentation is a function of skin type, and it really affects people with olive-colored skin or darker skin, and it affects them a lot. Anytime something gets inflamed in darker skin types, it heals with a brown spot, whereas in a fair-skinned person like myself, we heal everything with red spots. So it really is something that is driven by the type of skin you have, but at the same time, that inflammation starts this hyperpigmentation pathway. And I, you know, most dark-skinned people don't mind being really dark, and they don't mind being light, but they hate it when their skin is uneven tones, and that really bothers them to no end.
Absolutely. So the good news is there's lots of great ways to treat it and to treat it quickly. And as you said, the best thing is to prevent it by getting the acne under control. Once the acne is under control, you won't get so many red and brown marks.
That's right. And I think that's the important thing. Get treated early. If you think you have something that's causing your skin to get red in a darker-skinned person, make sure you get some treatment for it. Don't turn on that hyperpigmentation pathway, because that hyperpigmentation pathway is very, very difficult. Once it gets established, it's harder to treat. And now we have some great creams. I'm a big proponent of using the ZO system or the Obagi system or the Vivier system, which combines some proprietary agents with vitamin A compounds to really make a good result with it. And I've been a big fan of that for a long time.
Yes, there's so many different, lots of different ways to treat hyperpigmentation, you know, even sometimes with hydroquinone or kojic acid or glycolic acid or any of the retinoids or azelaic acid, chemical peels with all different agents. There's lots of options.
Yeah, that's right. And light chemical peels help us. One type of peel that is not used as much as I think it could be is the salicylic acid peel, because for olive colored skin, that really seems to make a lot of difference for both the acne and the hyperpigmentation. So I've been a big fan of 20 and 30% salicylic acid peels for a long time as well.
Absolutely. I tend to use a lot of trichloroacetic acid peels, but as we said, there's so many different ways to go. And I agree with you, the chemical peels, again, kill two birds with one stone. They help the acne and the hyperpigmentation at the same time. And my patients seem to love that.
Exactly. So we've talked about some of the colors. Now let's talk about some of the other scars we see, because some of these scars are based on the type of scar we see are sometimes easier to fix, and some are really, really, really difficult to fix.
Yes. So then when we move into, I call it atrophic acne scarring, so where there's atrophy and loss of collagen, I describe it to patients as these areas of indentation where their skin is going in. It's sort of been sucked down and they almost have holes, and there's different types of atrophic acne scarring. The one that is notoriously the most difficult to fix are called the ice pick scars, which are these little teeny tiny indentations that almost look like somebody just took a little ice pick and chipped it away at the face. And then there's also sort of boxcar and rolling scars, which are sort of more broad, bigger areas of atrophy and indentation. And, you know, patients can't always tell them all apart, but they all can respond to some degree to lasers and fillers. We can get into a more detailed conversation about that.
Yes, lasers are and help us a lot. You know, when I started doing laser resurfacing, it was years ago, back in the dark days of medicine, I call it, and we used to do full face ablative lasers. Now,
right.
To the other people out there that don't know what this is when we literally ripped off the top layer of the skin, under anesthetic, of course. But it really caused a wound that took 2, sometimes 3 weeks to heal. It caused a lot of erythema. It caused a lot of other problems such as hypopigmentation, meaning decreased pigmentation. So it wasn't for the timid. It wasn't for the weak. And it really did some pretty good results for a lot of people. But it really had some drawbacks that really limited its use. After a while, we realized that that was because we were putting too much heat in the skin. And another thing that Richard Fitzpatrick taught me is that the hypopigmentation we were seeing was a function of depth. The deeper we got into the skin was really causing the problem with the hypopigmentation. So what the laser companies did in their wisdom is they took the beam of light and they broke it down into little fingers, let's call them, little pieces of energy, little bundles of energy, so it became fractionated. And we got into two different types of lasers, the erbium and the CO2. And both of these have been used very useful for scarring because they're not causing as much damage. And with a series of these treatments, we can do just as well as that full face ablative surgery that we used to do.
Yeah, I love your explanation. I explain it to my patients really the same way. I just don't know that many doctors that do the full face ablative, you know, old-fashioned kind of CO2 laser or dermabrasion anymore. Most people are using fractionated lasers, whether they be ablative or non-ablative, and repeated treatments are usually the rule because obviously it's a fraction of the skin at a time, which is why it's so safe, because you're not creating that wound and ripping the whole top layer of the skin off. The fractionated lasers, I think, work great for improving The collagen growth underneath the skin and making the acne scarring better. And it's never going to be 100%. I try to explain that to people, which is why, you know, prevention is great. You know, treat your acne aggressively early so you don't get the scars. But if you have them, we can make them better with repeated laser treatments. And I usually prefer to do that first and get as much as I can out of the laser treatments. And then whatever's left over, I usually try to fill in.
Absolutely. Well, this is Dr. Barry Leica. I'm talking with Dr. Rebecca Bax from New Jersey about the new treatments that are available in acne scarring. I think you better pay attention if you or a loved one has acne scarring, because this is something we can now really do a lot with. Every day I get a person to my office, I tell them, you're in the right place. I'm so happy you came to see me, because we really can make a difference. And it's true, in this day and age, we really can make a difference. Isn't it true, Rebecca?
Absolutely. Absolutely true. We can make a gigantic difference for people with acne and acne scarring.
Okay, so one of the tools that we use quite often is the fractional laser. I like the ultrapulse laser from a company called Luminous. That's my favorite one, because it helps to put really programmed amount of energy into the areas we do. But it isn't without downtime. I mean, when we do a treatment, there is a couple of days of downtime with it, and that sometimes is not for everybody.
It's absolutely, you know, again, we use a fractionated laser. We use the brand name Fraxel Dual, usually the 1550 wavelength. I crank it up as far as patients and I can tolerate to get the highest settings. And yes, they're red and swollen for a couple of days. But most of my patients, you know, from Friday to Monday, they're usually okay, as long as they're not, you know, too squeamish about it. But for people who are nervous about redness and swelling and downtime, I also think that microneedling is a good option with a lot
less
downtime.
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit, because microneedling is something that came about. It was really not accepted by the dermatology profession to a great extent. And only now are we getting into microneedling. The old microneedling that we were associated with about 10, 15 years ago was with something called a derma roller, which was just like a pinwheel going across the skin. And many doctors looked at this and said, geez, these are barbaric instruments of torture. I don't think I'd ever get into that. But then some studies started coming out, some really good studies that really made a lot of difference. There really was some significant change in the skin with it. And we now know that these machines will stimulate growth factors, they will stimulate healing, and they'll stimulate collagen formation.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense because, again, just like our fractionated lasers are creating little micro wounds underneath the skin, the microneedling is basically doing the same thing. It's a little bit more superficial, but it's creating these little micro wounds. And when you micro wound the skin, you get collagen stimulation. And if you stimulate the collagen, the scars are going to look better.
Now, what's changed in microneedling is we now can control the depth of the needle that goes in. The very first microneedling I used to see was something taking a very small needle and rapidly putting it across the skin in a technique called the Napagé treatment, which was very good but very hard to do, very user-dependent and very hard on the doctor doing it. He couldn't do many cases in a day. Then they got into these controlled machines like the derma roller and the newer machines that really, really control the depth of the penetration of the needle into the skin. And one of those is the DermaPen.
Yes, absolutely. That's the one that we use in our office. And sometimes we are not sort of the first on board to buy the latest and the greatest. We like to let it be out there for a little while, make sure that we think the studies show that it's efficacious and that we think it's safe. And once we're happy with the data and we test it out ourselves, that's when we decide to purchase a new machine. So we're not always the first on board. So we have been starting with the DermaPen microneedling recently, and we've been very happy with the results, though. Really like it. And there's almost no downtime to it. I mean, the patients are a little bit pink for a day. You know, really, that's pretty much almost it. It's interesting, though, it does hurt a bit, and you do need to use some numbing cream. With numbing cream, it's very tolerable.
Yeah, and that's what I found with the DermaPen. I've used it a bit. I found it somewhat useful. The first prototypes of DermaPens were somewhat problematic, and they'd break very easily. I had to return a number of them to the company that made them because they just didn't work, and that was frustrating because you'd all be set up for a case, and the machine would be broken.
Yeah, that goes with my theory of not necessarily being the first to buy whatever laser or new machine is out there. So we usually like to let them wait.
I usually end up doing the R&D for these companies.
Right, well, then you get the first one. I let someone else do
it.
We usually wait a bit and make sure that we're on the, you know, maybe the second generation. They've worked out all the kinks, and then we invest.
Yeah, at least second or third generation, because some of the newest ones are not the best.
Yeah.
We actually got into a machine from Europe called the Endomed, which uses controlled depth needling very, very nicely, but it also puts RF in. RF is electrical current that goes in, and it also stimulates collagen as well. Now, for lighter skin types, we find the RF really useful. For darker skin types, we tend to shy away from it because we're always worried about stimulating that hyperpigmentation pathway again.
Yes, definitely have to be careful doing any kind of laser or invasive treatment with darker skins. Although I have done fractionated laser on all different skin types with success, but you know, maybe not in the middle of the summer. So
now the last thing we're going to talk about is fillers, and finally we're going to talk about combining all these techniques to make it all good for a patient. Talk to us a little bit about fillers and what they do for scarring.
You know, the fillers do two things. Most of them, if you use a hyaluronic acid filler such as Juvederm, Restylane, Bellotero, you inject these hyaluronic acid, these clear gel, directly into the scars. So there's sort of an immediate improvement because you're taking an indentation and trying to make it flush with the surface of the skin. It can cause a little bit of bruising and bumpiness that goes away. But the thing that I find amazing about it is that I really think that these things help grow new collagen. I think the original studies on Restylane years ago when it was first approved, people would do punch biopsies later and show that you put the Restylane in and you do punch biopsy 6 or 12 months later and there's, you know, new collagen growth. So I find that my patients do it a couple of times and then they don't need to do it so often. So people always say to me, well, but doc, it's not permanent. And I say, well, it may not be permanent, but it sure as heck works really well and starts to last a really long time after you've done it a few times because the collagen really starts to grow. So I would say that's my...
The other thing I've noticed that with the microneedling, what I do is I'll do some microneedling, and through those little holes that we introduce, we can put some of the material right through them now, just putting it on as a, sort of like a paste, and it'll go right through the holes and really plump up that dermis a little bit and really help some of that atrophic scarring, especially when there's a lot of it.
What are you using as that agent? What are you putting on
Any of the HAs. I'll use Restylane, Perlane, Juvederm. I will use Bolotero.
You just squeeze them out and put them right on the surface?
Yep, just rubbing it right through. And
that is very interesting.
Yeah, that's fairly new, and I don't see any studies on that yet, but I've really been pleased with that as well. I also use Sculptra sometimes in that way as well, which is a longer-acting substance for some of the atrophic scarring.
I love Sculptra for acne scarring. I think it's underutilized. It works great for people with these deep scars in their cheeks. It's not an immediate effect. You inject it, and you know it takes a couple of months really for that collagen to grow, but it provides a very natural and really fantastic result, especially for the people who have a lot of volume loss. And I think it's a great treatment, and we don't use enough of it.
Yeah, I think these help a lot. I think, again, with microneedling, they really do a great job. I had a person that came in a while ago that had a cyst treated on her chest by a good dermatologist in her area, and she got atrophy in that area. Well, I basically did some microneedling on that and put some Sculptra through the holes, and that area just healed beautifully without a defect at all any longer. So
that
was really nice.
That is fantastic.
So using our tools in different ways is the way that we're doing them. But also I find the big thing that's happening in my practice, Dr. Baxter, is combinations of things where we're using all these things either in sessions together or in sessions that are one after the other, where we will get some real good results combining all our tools, getting rid of the reds, the browns, those atrophic scars, getting rid of even hypertrophic scars with our lasers, getting rid of some of the other things that we see, and stimulating good skin health now. And that's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I have to say I completely agree with you. Such a pleasure to talk to you because I think we think the same way. At my acne scar patients, I always do combination treatments, whether it's peels and filler or filler and laser or some intense pulse light and microneedling, but it usually acne scarring responds in so many, different aspects of the scarring respond in different ways to different modalities, and the best results are from combination treatments, 100%.
Yeah, and I think, many patients can do well with one type of treatment, but when we start using these in combination, it's new math. It's not 1 + 1 = 2, it's 1 + 1 = 7,
yeah,
or
1 + 1 = 10.
So we're getting an additive effect by combining them because we're turning on a bunch more pathways that are causing to heal the skin.
Yes, I agree. I think the issue really, for patients is time and if there's any downtime and budget. So I usually try to, in my consultations, lay out all the options for a particular patient. And once I've laid out all the options, try to figure out what is their budget, what is their lifestyle, can they afford to have any downtime? Is their budget a few $100s, is the budget a few $1,000s, and try to get them a program that's the biggest bang for their buck for what they can do with their lifestyle, because there's so many different options and you really can find something for everybody.
Absolutely. And in fact, I was just at various conferences over the last couple of months, and I ran in to Mark Taylor from Salt Lake City a couple of times. One was when I was down in South Africa, and another time when I was at Joel Schlesinger's conference in Las Vegas. And he told me about a newer laser called the Fontana laser, which is a nanosecond laser that can help with pigment pores and pimples, basically. It can help with all of that without trauma, without much downtime at all. So he's really been hot on that. So I've ordered one. I'll be getting one soon. So when we talk in the future, Rebecca, I'd like to talk a little bit about this new toy I'll have.
Absolutely.
Really exciting me.
Yes, and you can check it out first and work out all the kinks, and then I'll get it after.
Mark assures me he's gotten all the kinks out of it this time.
Right.
So usually he tells me that I regret it for a couple of months.
But there really are so many options for patients with acne and acne scarring, and nobody should have to suffer. As long as you're willing to put in a little bit of time and effort and a little bit of money, there's so many things that can go a long way to making the skin better.
And I think that's the take-home message I'd like to tell our listeners out there is you need not suffer from acne scarring. You may have a little bit afterwards, but definitely in almost 100% of cases, we can improve the acne scarring.
Oh, I can definitely improve it in 100% of cases. I agree with that. It's a question of how much can you improve it? How bad is the scarring? And what kind of scarring is it? As we said, the red and the brown are a lot easier to get rid of. The atrophic indented acne scars are more of a challenge, but it responds to lots of things between the microneedling, all different types of lasers, all different types of fillers. We can for sure make it better.
Yeah, to me, it's like taking a palette of paints and painting a beautiful picture, or taking a bunch of instruments and playing them like an orchestra and really getting the best results as a result. It's not playing each individual instrument. It's playing the whole thing to get the whole beautiful sound.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy, because I think really when I think about my acne scar patients, it's rare that we only do one thing. We usually do combine number of things to get the skin looking good.
Yeah, it really is a wonderful day we're in. I'm so glad to be alive as we get these new tools. It really is an exciting time.
It is. It is, and we can do so much. We can do so much and improve people's lives. And, people just, they've been embarrassed and upset, and they look in the mirror, and it makes them sad. And then when you make it better, their entire life turns around. So it's really very rewarding work to be doing.
I call it happy medicine because most of the days I'm dealing with people that are extremely happy as a result of the changes we've been able to incur for them.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the key is finding an experienced practitioner who is, board certified and has a lot of experience in these areas, and getting someone to give you an honest consultation. There's a lot of, I would say, sham dermatology work being done in all kinds of places of people who are not dermatologists and just decided to take a weekend course and are, renting lasers and never really did fillers, just are dabbling in things, and I think that that's where a lot of the danger lies, and also not great results, a lot of money down the tubes. So best to find somebody who's very experienced and very well qualified.
Absolutely. Well, Rebecca, as always, you've been a great help for our listeners. If anyone would like to get in touch with you, how might they do so?
My website is www.cosmetical.com, and anyone can send a message through the website. We have offices in New Jersey and New York City, and that's the easiest way.
Excellent. Thank you again. I'm sure you're going to help a lot of listeners just by being on the show tonight as well.
I hope so, and I think the take-home message is don't lose hope and seek good medical attention to help with your acne and your acne scarring.
Exactly. Well, thank you again.
My pleasure.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
This is Dr. Barry Leica. I was talking with Dr. Rebecca Baxt from New Jersey about some of the newest advances in acne scarring treatment. I think it's important to realize that this is one of the new areas that we really have been able to make a lot of changes in. When I first started, it was not this way. It really has come full circle to the way we are now. It really is an exciting time for all of us and more exciting for our patients because we really can make a lot of difference here. Well, check back here often. I think you'd find a lot of new stuff here. Always check back because we've got new shows every week. Dr. Barry Leica, hope to talk to you soon.